everything I do that I'm ashamed of, there is another person on this planet that does exactly the same and is also ashamed of it. So I'm not alone. And this helped me to first accept and also see that it's beautiful to not be perfect and to share it. And that's where people connect.
That's Adeline Perez. I'm Cara Duffy, and this is the Powerful Ladies Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today because you're one of my favorite humans and I don't get to spend as much time as I would like with you. And you've been a past podcast guest as well. So let's tell everyone who you are, where you are, and what you're up to in the world.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back for the second time on the podcast. And yes, you're also my favorite person on this planet. You know it. And so I'm Adeline. I'm French. I live in Spain. We used to work together back in the days in Germany. And since then, we've been friends and you've been helping me to develop my yoga teaching business that I no longer do. So my path has been completely different now and very exciting to talk about it.
Well, let's dive right into that because you're doing things that I never imagined you would do. They weren't on the scope of possibilities when I first met you. So what are you doing now?
Yeah, it's really funny. I was not expecting that at all. Now I'm a slasher, meaning that I do stand-up comedy. I'm also a comedian. I'm an author, and I'm being paid to write funny sketches and scenarios and to act in some small videos. That's my new life. It's all about being exposed and being very visible and showing myself on social media and something for the shy person that I am, which is completely not the path, but very, very happy to be here now.
And you've been on French TV.
Yes, true. Every month I'm on one of the channel, one of the business channel, where they wanted to have 2 minutes of a funny person having a funny perspective on a topic. And I'm sending my videos to French TV. This is so crazy.
Well, and a lot of people in the US are following or have heard of Corporate Natalie, who does comedy about, you know, the workplace and especially the differences in generations in the workplace today. And so tell people, what's your comedy about and how does it tie into work?
Yes. So my accounts, all my social accounts are in French. When I started, I tried to do it in English and in French. And in the end, it resonated more with French people. So now it's fully in French. And it's indeed about corporate world. And I started with the intent to give advice to young people that were looking for a job. I was like, that could be my mission, to help people. So we're still in the I want to help people. And that's why I started on social media. And then I was like, wait, it's too serious. It's not me. I need to add some fun. And then I started having this character. So my character on social media is this crazy HR lady that is completely upset with how the world is changing, and she doesn't understand what Gen Z wants, and she doesn't understand why now women are in power. And so I'm using her as a way to talk about all the problems that I see in corporate world, and to use fun and humor to talk about very heavy topics. And it's resonating very well with the French community.
And what I find so amazing about this is when I first met you, you were someone who was petrified to speak up in a meeting, let alone on stage for a presentation that we would have to do. How has your relationship with public speaking shifted to get it to a point where not only are you now speaking on camera on a regular basis, but you're funny and you're enjoying it?
Yeah. So it's, thank you. You know, it's, I think it's a something I'm working on since many years, and it's like baby steps that helped me. And I remember one of these really traumatizing moments I had with you. We were in a meeting, and usually I was talking to you before meeting and after meeting and sharing my thoughts in the privacy of our relationship. You know, like, hey, I would like to say this in the meeting, or after the meeting, I was telling you, oh, by the way, I have this idea that I didn't mention. And at some point, you tricked me, and we were in the meeting, and people turned to you because you were the leader, and they were like, so Cara, what do we do for this project? And you were like, and you said, well, actually Adeline is working on the project and she knows better. And then you went silent. And you dared to let me talk in front of, I don't know, we were maybe six people, which is nothing. And I started sweating and I was like, she trusts me more than I trust myself. And I did actually well, nothing bad happened. And I remember this as one of the big moments of like, hey, I really need to change something and to speak up more. And having the, it's really rare to have a manager that does this, because manager, they love to talk. They love to have the light on them. And you wanted me to shine. And by this, I'm kidding when I say traumatizing moments, it was the little nudge I needed. And then I think you put me in this training of like how to speak in public the company offered. So I had this first, second traumatizing experience. But then at some point, I just kept going and kept challenging me a bit every day. Okay, now my goal is to talk to at least three people I don't know, or my goal is to call a restaurant to ask if they are open. I just kept challenging myself with silly stuff. And more recently, like 2 years ago, I started stand-up comedy lessons, because you can learn to be funny, you can learn to know how to write a joke. And this moment when I went on stage well prepared and well coached by our teacher, I was just flying with like, oh my god, how good it is to be in front of a crowd, have a mic, and hear them laughing and clapping, and they're not throwing tomatoes at me. It's amazing. And I think this started something. And since then, with the videos helping, social media, doing it every day, now I'm really comfortable in most of social situations. And it's crazy to see the journey. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Well, and what I've been so proud of you, there's many things that I've been proud of you about, but mm-hmm. what's been really amazing about you stepping into your power with public speaking, it's also allowed you to step into your power with your own voice and your own needs, because that's also been a dramatic switch since I've met you. And where did that come from, the public speaking? Was it a combination of that plus the yoga and listening to yourself? Like, how have you gotten so much more confident? Because I think there's so many people listening who are exactly where you were when we first met. And it's crazy to them to think that they would be on stage doing a comedy routine. So how have you been getting into this place of your own self-confidence and your own self-worth?
Yes, I think, so I'm still progressing every day. I compare myself to last year and I'm like, oh my God, I progressed again. So it's a constant evolution. But you're right. Yoga helped me a lot in the way of, we're all vulnerable and we all face insecurities and we all have the same fears. I say all, most of us. And I just realized everything I do that I'm ashamed of, there is another person on this planet that does exactly the same and is also ashamed of it. So I'm not alone. And this helped me to first accept and also see that it's beautiful to not be perfect and to share it. And that's where people connect. It's like, oh, there is there's a crack and I can see lights behind. And I think that's how we connect as human is, hey, this is where I experience difficulties and this is where I'm struggling. And that's when we connect. And knowing that helped me on stage also to put the light on something that usually you keep in the dark. Because that's in stand-up comedy, that's what we are looking for. And sometimes you see comedians, they're talking about their mental health and, hey, I'm depressed. Hey, I'm taking Xanax. Hey, I'm... Because people relate and because they make fun of something that usually nobody say. But there's those little things that will have humoristic potential once you're done with it. You cannot talk about something super traumatizing, of course. You have to have some perspective on it. But that's, for me, all those problems that I have, it's on stage, it's magical. Like me sharing how shy I was and I could not dare to press the stop button in the bus is pure comedian material. It's awesome, those kind of thing. And people are just laughing, but laughing because they've been there too. And they relate and you make it funny. And then you remove the shame of something that is not that bad. And I think this helped me to just remove the ego of like, hey, we all have to be perfect. And if you're not, you cannot be where you are. No, you're say it, you're not perfect. That's okay.
Well, there's that saying that it's funny because it's true. And that's what you're speaking to, right? The truth of the ridiculousness that all of us have.
Yeah, and it's funny at the end, sometimes people, they come and they talk to you and they're like, wow, your imagination is so strong. I'm like, it's not my imagination, it's my life.
Makes it even better.
Yeah. Or sometimes they're like, hey, you know, me too. I do this and thank you for sharing. I felt less alone. It was like what I wanted.
Well, and you've done so much work to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
You've had a long-term regular yoga practice, meditation practice, journaling, intuitive eating practice.
Yep.
Like you've been working on those things for 20 years, 15?
Could be, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because everything we have, it sounds so cheesy. It's like it's all the answers are within us and we know everything in it's inside us. But actually, yeah. I remember now I've always been attracted to being on stage and being funny. But when you're shy and insecure, you're like, why should I talk? It's not interesting. Why should I talk? It's not funny. Who do I think I am to take space and speak up? And some people are more confident and more talented than me, and yeah, and they are true, good for them. Like we all have, there's space for all of us, and listening to where you're aligned to is what is my compass right now. When I have projects coming, I'm like, wait, how does it make me feel in my body, not in my mind? Are my shoulders suddenly, you know, tensing in my jaw and in my stomach? Am I okay with that? Am I excited to do this project or not? And why? And that's where I start digging. And this is how some projects on the paper, they look amazing, but somehow my intuition is like, And I have to make a difference between intuition and fear because they're not the same feeling. Could be confusing in the body, but they're not the same. And I'm trying to let this guide me. So yes, yoga helped me in that.
I've been talking to a lot of people lately about this whole concept of, we had a workshop about trusting yourself in March. I went to a conference and there's a lot of conversations about values over feelings, your standards over feelings. And I like that you're separating what we feel in our head versus what we feel in our body. Mm-hmm. Because I'm trying to help people understand how to separate our feelings versus what we know. Because like when you know something, you just go. Like you can't be stopped. It's like, nope, done, out of the way. Like it's all business. When you feel something, like even being tired, it's a feeling. It can't be trusted. Like you can get tired when you're bored, when you're scared, when you're nervous. Like you don't get tired when you're excited about something, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's so important to be looking at the distinctions between the two and separating them. And when you do start paying attention, it's so amazing to see when you are asked if you want to do something and you pause for that second and check in, how quickly your body tells you what you are really, what you know about it, to be a yes or to be a no. Like once you started listening to yourself in that way, how did your life start to change?
I think I used my time to be happier. Because now a lot of projects are coming in, which is great, because when I started, I was like, you arrive at the midlife crisis and you're like, wow, it's time to be rich now and look at what you've done in the past and not start over from scratch again and be like, how am I going to get money? And, you know, and you're very insecure. But I kept to this, is that going to make me happy? And actually, then you do a video and the results are great because you're happy to do it. And then people see you're happy to do this. And so they contact you for similar project. And then in the end, you do more project of what makes you happy. And of course, sometimes they come with completely different project. Like I was approached by a company. They were like, hey, can you come in our company? And we have this full like event all day. And you could be like interrupting people talking on stage and making and being fun. You could be the clown of the day. And I was like, No, thank you. Yeah, I look funny and stuff. And they wanted somehow to have me in the company doing funny stuff like I do in the video. But then I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. And even though it was a real project, I was like, no, thank you. Because I was like, then what? Then I do a lot of stuff like that and it's not me. Yeah, and I think it's just making you happy to every day work on stuff you know you love, and your brain is working together. And to me, it's a perfect schedule. I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but it's just you just feel happy even though you're working a lot. But you just feel happy doing it, and you know where you're going, or you don't know where you're going, but you know it's the right direction.
I think you're saying it perfectly. So how did all of this lead to you becoming an author?
So the good thing about social media is that it's your own platform to share who you are, and people will see you and they'll be like, oh, she looks nice and kind and funny and I want to work with her. So in the beginning, I just worked on my visibility. And then at some point, people from companies are like, hey, we're watching your videos in meetings. And thank you for talking about this topic. And then I got contacted by this pretty big French publisher.
House?
Publisher. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, we like you. I don't know. We want to do something with you. Do you want to write a book? And I was like, oh. And they were like, we would like to talk about toxic management. Is that something you do? And I was like, yes, it's definitely, because I've known toxic managers and I've known extremely good managers. And yes, I have something to say as a person that is the perfect victim for toxic manager. I was like, yeah, please. And she was like, but we went to you because we want this book to be funny, not only about theoretical stuff. So that all made sense. I can write about a topic that is important to me and I would like to share with young people. Be careful of some people, and this is how you can protect yourself, and this is what you can do, and this is what you should not do, and these are the red flags, these are the green flags. It's like I have all this thing to share to kind of heal myself because I didn't do it in the past, and now I can do it in the Adeline way, which is with a lot of jokes, because it's difficult to talk about toxic management, but if you make it funny, then it's a really funny book, still with a lot of advices, which I think there is a lot of advices from you in this book.
I may have been asked to answer a few questions for this book. Yes. I'm very excited about it. I'm really proud of you and excited to see the book and have a copy of the book. What I'm most curious about is, when will it be released in English? And what do we have to do to get it released in English?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. It will be released in France in May. And let's see how the traction it gets. And if they, in the contract, it's, I signed okay for being translated in all languages. So
Yep, I had to do a big leap of faith and be like, I don't know this contract I'm signing. It's in French. I trust Adeline. We're just going to sign it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or you have to learn French now.
Which is a, you know, possibly. It's a possibly. Yeah, it's okay. I'm taking Italian classes right now, actually.
Yeah, more or less the same.
Totally the same. Totally the same.
Just changed two vowels.
What's next? What do your days look like?
My days are actually pretty full of writing. So I'm trying to be organized. Like, I think what we learn in companies is helping, because like social media is still a job. It's helping me to be organized and have like, okay, this is the scripting part, and then there's the shooting part, and then there's the editing part. I'm trying to be more organized. I have a calendar for every platform. Here's what I'm going to post on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. And they all have different strategies. So keeping on the training to be up to date, because algorithms are changing every 6 months. And it's the trends are changing, and talking on LinkedIn is different than talking on the Instagram. You're talking to different target groups, age target group. And this is very interesting, because in all this, I have very good communities. Like, I don't have that many haters. That I don't know if it's because I do it funny or stuff, but even if I'm talking about companies, it's people are still reacting pretty good. So that's where I'm like, okay, that's my angle. I've been in 14 years in companies, and I'm talking to people in companies, and like we relate. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what was the question?
And what's next?
Ah, what's next? So there's the book being released, which helped me also get calls from companies. They want to have like not really conferences, but intervention, or I don't know. They have some from the video to real life. And this is really exciting to have this. And now I have an agent.
So fancy.
Oh yeah, I know, right? And when they call me, I'm like, oh, let me talk to my agent. Or have you talked to my agent? No, I'm kidding. But it's really cool. Like, there's that many projects that I need to have someone that is help me negotiate also, like talking about money. I hate it. I still hate it. And now someone does it for me. Thank you.
And now you just need to yell at them to make it right.
Yeah, let's talk about my book about toxic management. I'm the best example. So now I'm just really happy working on the videos. And the more you work with, in English it's not famous, but I'm working with kind of a French version of LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. They have quite a big visibility, and every video we release is really reaching a lot of people, and it's really amazing. And we really shoot in professional condition. It's not just me with my iPhone. Like there's several cameras. There's the right light. There is the right sound, and there is several journalists to help me adjust the scripts. And it's really great. So for me, this what I'm going through currently, it is great. Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, oh, maybe I need to use this as a platform, as a, you know, like in swimming pool, you jump on something that brings you to.
Yeah, like to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I need to use this to go to the next level, but actually I'm really enjoying this level. So right now I'm enjoying this level and I enjoyed a lot writing the book. I think it was helpful because when you've been fired, and I know we don't have the same vision of being fired in the US and in France, but in French, it's really like you're a loser. You lose your identity. And it was still hard for me, even though it was economical, firing because it layoff.
Yeah, in America, it's called a layoff.
A layoff. Like it was not because I did something bad. And even though it was hard for me, so kind of having the book released is like, not a revenge, but it's really also good for the ego. Not that I did it only for the ego, but it's also, I've done something. I created something. I've done something important to me.
Well, so and it's nice to have that redemption and to, you know, you've always been more powerful than whatever role you've been in. And you've always been someone practical who wants to get the job done right and help other people. And you have so many examples of like working with dumb idiots, which is amazing. And I'm sure like no matter how progressive companies are, being female, being attractive, being smart, looking younger than you are, there's a lot of reasons why people stereotypically could dismiss you and think that they can treat you any way that they want to. And I don't know, it's just been really impressive to see you manage those situations. Like some of them you've called me for and asked for advice before, because it's so shocking when someone does something either rude or aggressive or in any of the harassment categories. But you've handled them with so much grace that it feels so right that you are now helping other people know how to be powerful in those situations and know that toxic management and toxic colleagues and toxic vendors are just not okay.
Yeah, and I thank you. And I also learned to say it in my way. Because I looked up to a lot of people to like, how do they handle situations like that? And they say, okay, and I was taking note of the sentences they were saying. And I was like, but wait, this is not how I communicate. I cannot suddenly turn into a pit bull and yell at people. That's not me. I have to find my way to still say something, but in my way that is almost like, I still want to be friend with you. And I think I managed to do that by just simply just saying out loud what was happening. And it happened, it was last week. I went to Paris and I was waiting at the security. And two Spanish guys skipped the line and went in front of the guy before me. And usually I'm part of the people that just like, but say nothing. And this time, in Spanish, out loud in front of a fully crowded airport, I was like, there is a line. You have to go back where you were because we are all waiting here. But I didn't say it aggressively. I just said it very loud and naturally. And people looked at me like, oh, thank you. Someone said something. It's the first time I've been this person. And then, so they still skipped the line, which is meh, meh, meh. But I said something. They skipped the line and they're shamed. Shame, yeah, boo boo, but they still keep the line. But I was so proud of myself, and it's just saying things, just as it is. Like, hey, there's a line. Can you go back to where you are? And then I don't know what they said in Spanish, whatever. But they just looked like assholes. Mm-hmm. And I looked like, wow, this girl is so confident. I loved myself that day. I was like, yeah, it's starting to work. Finally, saying something. I mean, for some people, when you talk to people that are super confident, they're like, duh. And you were never saying anything? No. And when your French fries are cold in a restaurant, you say nothing? Yeah. Why? Because I'm scared. But when you've been there, you understand how powerful this is. Those little moments are victories mm-hmm. that you're the only person to know the price of it.
Well, and this goes back to knowing yourself, because I think you're really right that when we try to step into our confidence and we try to step into our power and our voice, it can feel awkward when we're mimicking other people that we've seen. And it's not the same impact. It doesn't feel good in the way that we want stepping into our power to feel. So it really does have to be done our way. And like, it has to be trial and error. You just have to try and totally. Adjust.
Mm-hmm. I mimicked Maria, one of our friends, because I look at her like, oh my God, she's so confident. And she says being super, like, I really admire her. And I tried in my job after to do Maria style, but you have to be Maria to do Maria style. And it was just, I was saying the right words, but it was not coming with the confidence of like, those are my words. And people were like, what? And that's why, finding your own way of saying. And sometimes just like, hey, I don't know why, but I'm not okay with that. And I still don't know why. I don't have an explanation. I just don't feel okay with that. Can we pause on that? Can I answer to you later? Or something's wrong. I cannot explain, or I'm not confident with what's happening. Not okay with what's happening. Sometimes even when you cannot express it correctly, just saying that you cannot express it correctly. Just saying what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always remember that time that I came back from a meeting and found you and our intern working on something. And then I turned the corner and you guys both just shut up. And I was like, okay, what are you guys working on? And like, you started laughing and they're like, well, it's a project, but we can't show it to you yet because it's not perfect and you won't accept it unless it's perfect. So don't look.
I don't remember.
It sticks in my memory because it was such a great example of a team that I adored, like knowing me and my neuroses and my, you know, specifications and expectations, and not making me wrong for it, just being like, that's how she is. We're just going to have to make it that way. And that's okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't so, made out of fear. It was made out
No.
We know her and she's not going to like it. Like, so it was in a really good way.
Like, because so many of my clients get nervous that they have too high expectations and they're too direct and they're too demanding, when often I'm telling them, like, no, like it's not that you're being too demanding or having too high expectations. You're just not telling your team why. So that, because most of the time when you tell people why you have these high expectations, they get it. And it's usually because you see a part that they don't have visibility to, or they don't know what's going to happen next and why this matters so much. So I tell my clients to tell their team why more, and not to lower your standards, but to help get everyone else to kind of understand it from your perspective. Because I think that the confidence goes in both ways. Am I confidently speaking up for what I need? And am I confidently sharing who I am and why who I am is right? Because sometimes who we are feels too big for other people.
And so it makes me think about like a personal example. This is like when you get confident, It doesn't stay in one area. It will go to all areas of your life, whether you want it or not. And I was talking with my family, and suddenly there was this urge of like, hey, by the way, there's this problem that hasn't been solved and nobody talks about since 20 years. I think now it's time you say what you think about this. And this was coming from inside my body. I was really like, okay, now it's time to talk. And my head was like, no, we're having nice dinner. Shut up, everything is perfect. And I was like, wait, no, it's about listening. So I'm going to say it. And when you share something that has 20 years of emotional weight on it, you cannot say it like, hey, by the way, let me share something. And I was like, and my voices started shaking and I started sweating and being red. And I was like, okay, I'm going to say something and I'm not going to say without emotions because I cannot, but I have to share what I think about this event from 20 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And I know like the delivery is not correct because I'm really emotional about it. I'm really stressed. I might cry, but don't get focused on that. Listen to the message behind because it's important. I have to share it, but I'm reacting like the 20-year-old past me, but I still want to say it. And I still shared what I wanted to say by saying how uncomfortable I was that I was crying about something that actually was not important. Like adult me was like, this is not important. But baby me was like, no, I need to share because I was not okay with that. And this was sad for me or something. But the fact that you're saying it and just like being aware of what's going on, it's what helping me say anything. And this was an example of stuff I didn't want to say. And I still said it by acknowledging the fact that I was not saying it as an adult because it was too much for me. And it went perfect. And we solved something older than 20 years. Amazing. I was like, it's so easy when you are true to yourself. It's hard because I didn't want to say it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so ashamed. I'm crying about something that is not relevant at all, but so proud that I still like checking this box.
Well, it also speaks to a level of being responsible for who you are, as well as the impact you're having on other people, right? Even letting people know like, hey, I'm going to be more emotional than I might normally be and pay attention to my words and not that. Like giving people that space is a huge deal because so often we're not listening to ourselves. We're not paying attention. We're not dealing with what's inside us. And so when we go to share something important, we explode on people or we look crazy and no one knows the context to it. So they get really scared because it's not who you normally are. And we don't prepare people with how to deal with things in a powerful way all the time. And so I think that's such a nice, you said it so nonchalantly, but that's such a powerful component to being a great communicator and really being committed to the solving the issue versus just word vomiting all over somebody else and then they have to deal with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really like focus on the message and please excuse all the emotions coming to it. I just cannot. Yeah. It was so authentic. In the end, we all hugged and like, why I waited so long?
Well, you are taking France by storm and soon the world with your comedy, with your videos, with your book. For everybody who wants to follow you, support you, work with you, where can they find you?
So my my social handle is Un Amour de Chef in French for now on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Yeah.
And if somebody wants to reach out to you for doing something like this in English or to come speak at their business, can they just DM you from that handle? Is that the best thing to do?
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Or also I can also give the email of my agent because did I mention that I have an agent now? No, but yes, they can DM me for sure. And I will be happy to do it in English because I can see my English level is going down because I'm not using it that much. So we need to have more talks.
Well, yes, I would love to hang out with you more. I hope that you're coming to California or somewhere in the US soon. And hopefully I'll be coming to you because it has been too long since I've given you a hug and we are due an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
But thank you so much for coming back to the Powerful Ladies podcast. Thank you for sharing what a journey you've been on and just like the tremendous growth and like living big. Like you are such an example of just going for the big thing and going for what you know in your heart is the right thing to chase after. And yeah, I'm so proud of you and I'm so honored to have you as a friend.
Thank you. Same. I'm very happy. And it's all about like, I'm scared, but I still do it. Thank you.
You and me both. all the links to connect with Adeline and all of her channels are in our show notes at thepowerfulladies.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening and leave us a rating and review. Join us on Instagram at powerfulladies and at @Kara_Duffy. And you can also find me at karaduffy.com. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, I hope you're taking on being powerful in your life. Go be awesome and up to something you love.